Welcome to the Revitalize My Church podcast, created to help churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. Here's the host of the show, Bart Blair.
Welcome to another episode of the Revitalize My Church podcast. This is episode number 26, and I am Bart Blair. I am the director of church revitalization for a ministry called Assist Church Expansion. And we started producing this podcast in 2025 for the purpose of helping churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. Thanks for tuning in. If you happen to be new to our podcast, we drop episodes on the 1st and the 15th of every month. So be sure that you subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast episodes so that you don't miss any future episodes. And if you happen to be a returning visitor or viewer, you might notice my voice sounds a little weird and my eyes are totally bloodshot. It is allergy season in Texas, and I'm struggling a little bit today, but hopefully you can, hopefully you'll survive the scratchiness of my voice. I will hopefully survive the scratchiness of my eyeballs, but that's not why you're here. You're not here to hear about my physical ailments. You're here to get a boost, a lift, some encouragement for your ministry, for your church, and that's what I have for you here today. Excited to introduce you to a new friend of mine named Lisa Rowland. Lisa is the children's minister at a church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live called Bridgeway Church. It's in a city called Flower Mound, Texas, which is a northern suburb of Dallas. But Lisa has extensive experience in children's ministry. She and I are actually also connected with another mutual friend named Scotty Sanders, who leads an organization called Life Catalyst Consulting. And so Lisa both serves at Bridgeway Church, and she also works with Scotty and his team at Life Catalyst Consulting. And I met her recently, started talking to her about some children's ministry stuff, and I was like, I have got to have Lisa on the show to talk about children's ministry. Now, I do want to apologize to you a little bit. The audio in this particular episode, in spite of my scratchy voice, the audio isn't the best audio recording, but the content is still gold. So I hope that you'll stick with it, even though the audio isn't the best. I think you're going to really, really get a lot out of this, especially if your church is one that has maybe not seen a whole lot of kids in the recent past. Maybe your church is a church that needs to reach more young families with kids. You don't have many kids. Lisa gives us a great checklist, a lot of great things that we can do to prepare our church for the families that we are praying God will bring to us. She has also offered to give us a copy of this checklist. So if you'll check the show notes on our website at revitalizemy.church, that's the URL. Check the show notes over on our website, and you'll be able to download a PDF that she's sent to us for this particular episode. So that's all I got to say to introduce this episode. Here's my recent conversation with Lisa Rowland. Lisa Rowland, thank you so much for joining me today on the Revitalize My Church podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. At the time that you and I are recording this, the spring is kind of coming to an end and we're approaching the summer, and you and I are both in Texas. So it's nice and warm and sunny outside. At least it is
Absolutely.
Today. It's been a little rainy.
Yes, it is.
Been a little rainy lately. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. You are a person that I have only recently met, but have learned very quickly that you're a super creative, super talented person who has a lot of experience in children's ministry and ministry consulting, and just really excited to have the opportunity to pick your brain today and ask you some very specific questions that I hope and I believe that our audience would, if they had an opportunity to sit across the table from you, they would ask these questions that I'm going to ask you today. So I'm confident that you're going to be able to bring some useful insight for us. Before we get to my questions, why don't you set the table for us by just sharing your story and your ministry journey? Tell us what you do today and how you ended up here.
Yes, I know. So often you'll find out that many children's ministers did not plan to be children's ministers, which happens. That's kind of a little bit of my story too, but it's a little bit unique in the sense that I first was in business management, was in the corporate world for many, many years. And my husband and I, we were married in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And then we moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, had started attending the Hills Church, and I was volunteering, and I'd always had a love for kids, but that kind of at the age I'm at, you know, if you didn't know quite what you were going to do, you did business management, which is what I was doing. And so I was pretty much in a corporate world, traveling, doing a lot of training with the Associate Credit Card Company, which is part of Citigroup. And I loved that, but I was kind of, I always felt like longing for something more. And so as I started volunteering in children's ministry at the church, I was really in the nursery. I noticed that I was starting to feel this, you know, a little bit of extra joy. And trying to kind of motivate people around me, because I think some people can get really kind of down or they get frustrated, you know, so you're trying to provide them solutions, help with newsletters, things like that. But one day there was a director that had been there 30 years, and she said, I'd really love for you to apply for this early childhood director position we have. And I was like, I'm so not qualified for that. But at the end of the day, this was kind of really, this is over 20 years ago. So honestly, like, they probably weren't looking for the exact criteria you're looking for today. So I think when I went into that interview, which I still did not want to do, but I did for this friend, you know, they're just like, can you just help us? We don't even know what we need. So at the end of the day, I said, not a problem. Like, at that time, I had just made a career change. My husband and I had, he had gotten promoted, and we just paid off all of our debt through a financial peace thing at our church. And I was just wanting to take some time with my daughter, and thought, you know, I'll do some writing, things like that. I did not want to be in charge of anything, but I decided to take this on. And as I was doing that, I realized, man, there's a real need like here, but also just this, you know, truly when you're doing what you're made to do, like, you just experience this joy, as you know. And so I was really loving it and enjoying it. And from there, honestly, like, I just fell in love with children's ministry. I questioned, because I did not feel like I was equipped. But I had grown up in a home where my mom, it was just my mom and I, and she did not attend church, but my aunt and uncle took me to church. And not to give you this really, really long, long story, but in that time that I'm praying to God, asking him, I just don't feel equipped. Like, at that point in time, I had not really done a lot of ministry schooling or anything like that. So there was something he revealed to me through someone who had taught me when I was young, that made me realize that's why he had me in that position. And so we are at the Hills, which is a very large church. I had about 280 volunteers at the time. I had anywhere from 10 to like 200. But this particular day, I'm introducing myself to the volunteers. And I go in to meet a lady who's a little bit older. She's really like really in her 80s, but she serves on a Wednesday night. And I'm introducing myself. I'm Lisa Rowland. And I'm telling her I'm from New Mexico. And we start chatting, and suddenly I start to put two and two together a little bit. And she had taught the children's worship that was in it was at the first church that I had ever gone to. And she had a little mirror back in the day. They had a little bit of a little Goldilocks, you know, like, painting. And then for the little boys, like a little, you know, crew cut. And she would put you in front of it and put her hands on her shoulders and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And put you in front of that. Well, because I was growing up, it was just my mom and I. And truthfully, I love my mom so much, but she had died of alcoholism about 10 years ago. And so she struggled a lot with her mental illness. And a lot of people did not know kind of what was going on, including my aunt and uncle. But my aunt and uncle had taken the time to drive their station wagon every week right to her house, honk the horn, say, come on, you want to hop in the car? You know, and I'd go to church with them. And so this little Debbie, I call her Debbie Farmer, and I know she wouldn't mind me using her name, but had no idea the impact she had on me. So, because with my mom, I knew she loved me, but there were just, you know, there were things that were coming out of her mouth that later she'd think, I'm so sorry, I didn't need to say that, but they had stuck, you know, like hairspray. I teach the kids now, you got to be careful about your words because it stays to you. Well, so it had stuck with me and I didn't realize it. But in that moment, I just started crying and I was like, you're supposed to be telling her, I'm your children's director. And just explained to her, I said, are you Miss Debbie? And I got like this childlike appearance. And she said, I am. I said, did you teach children's worship? And you would put your hands on her shoulder and tell us this. And I just told her, I said, you have no idea what impact you made on me. And so at that moment, when I walked out of that resource room, I heard the Lord tell me, see, Lisa, I didn't want you in children's ministry because of like your experience, or like, you know, because I had already recognized that all of my business experience was going to be helpful. As a matter of fact, I would even encourage that. Like, it seems that's helpful to have business management experience when you are in ministry, because you can get a lot of that, you know, the knowledge. And I had Bible knowledge, but I just was feeling like I was ill-equipped. He's like, that's not what they wanted you there for. I want you there because you know what a difference hearing the word early could make in a child's life. And so I realized then, I was like, okay, we may never see how these seeds grow, how God's going to grow these seeds, but we know that we're making a difference, right? And we are helping planting seeds, and we're going to do the very best we can and make sure we just, you know, water that garden the best, but other people are going to come along and do that. And so that's when I realized, okay, I get it. Like I literally at that time heard him and thought, so one thing, I need to kind of stay out of your way, Holy Spirit. And two, I need to quit worrying about, like, I just need to be a willing servant and help you guide me and realize that, yes, I do understand how we can change a child's life in that. So once I did that, I was with the Hills for quite a while and they planted a church and went to Bridgeway. I was there for 11 years. And then I started doing some consulting with my catalyst and ended up going out to Waxahachie for a while, helping a church out there for about 6 years. Ironically, now I'm back. I was coming back just to kind of help them find a children's minister. And they convinced me if I could stay, still do consulting. And so it's kind of like coming back home again. But I'm just really passionate about it. I just, as a child who knows what it feels like to kind of have that already stored in your heart, that's when like it came to fruition. That's when it grew for me, was that I realized, oh, okay, you were preparing me. So all of the different things you do in your life and ministry, from retail, I was in retail for a while, you know, you've got merchandising, you can always connect it. So God, I believe just, you know, we don't know when he's going to call us into that ministry, but I truly can say, I know that's what he wanted me to do. And he was just prepping me for it through all the other things I was doing.
That's a really cool story. To give some context, for all the people who are listening to this podcast who've never heard of Waxahachie, you mentioned Waxahachie. It's a town in Texas, west of Fort Worth. And Lisa currently serves at Bridgeway Church in North Texas, in the North Dallas area, and also with Life Catalyst Consulting with our mutual friend Scotty Sanders. And so, in addition to working in a church environment today, Lisa also does consulting and coaching with other churches that are looking to kind of level up in their own children's ministry, family ministry space. So, did I summarize that pretty well?
Absolutely. Well, you sure did.
Okay, Lisa, I'm going to kind of get to some of the questions that, some questions that I want answers to, and then I think it'll lead to some of the questions that I think some of our audience members might be interested in. But let's start with this question. What are some things that you see, maybe some trends in children's ministry, things that you like, things that you think that the local church is doing well and winning in as it relates to children's ministry in that space?
You know, I think there's a little bit more focus. Like now we see more data as to children, you know, that they are, we know that they're little sponges anyway, but you know, we got the Barna group. I mean, they're talking a lot about statistics and we're realizing that they actually, you know, make a big decision much earlier than you think. So a lot of times we worry about them more when they were in youth ministry. And that was very common. You know, you start thinking, man, I got to get them there. But it's much easier to get a 3-year-old in a car than it is to get like a 16-year-old in a car. And so I think one of the things I think that's really good right now is that as far as us having a little bit more data out there to realize that these are impressionable minds and that we can help start playing those scenes early. And I do think that, you know, there's more curriculum options out there too. So there's a lot of free options. There are things you have to buy. So you don't have to have a huge budget anymore. Like we've got, you know, social media that's offering free things, Etsy. We've got, you know, I mean, it's just a lot easier to find information now. And to be able to pull something on a lesson and be creative about it. And so I really do love that more people are sharing resources. And so it's easier to get resources. And I do think that now pastors and churches, it's kind of hard because maybe it's like if you're a pastor on this call, you're thinking, I know I need to have a good children's ministry, but I don't know what that takes. And so it's like you want to have that person who can help you to have that good ministry, that strong ministry that you could be attracted to and that they want to go to. And I think they're understanding, I need that. Where before it may have looked more like babysitting, not on purpose, you know, but they didn't understand it. So it's like, I don't know. I just know that we need something for the kids, right? So now, you know, you don't just need something for the kids. You need something powerful for the kids, you know? And so there are more people seeking how to do that because parents they understand that they're starting to want to be more serious about trying to bring God into their home and how do they do that. And so they want resources. There's just so much they want. And we're in a society that you can get so much that as a church, we're expected to help equip them and not just equip the adults, but equip the children and the families as well. So I love that there's a more family focus that you would take your kids to church and you kind of thought, okay, they're learning about Jesus. And you forget, wait, they're only with them like once a week, you know? And then now families are like, Oh, yeah, that's on us too, because more preachers are talking about we're the main spiritual developers. Like, we need to partner with the church. So I think there's more partnership now that happens. And I really do love seeing that there's that eagerness to learn.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you hit on that is something that I actually really like. And honestly, as a pastor for over 25 years myself, it's one of those light bulb moments where you're like, why didn't we think about this and focus on this much sooner? And that is the fact that what happens in that Sunday morning classroom or kids' church or whatever it is, whatever the environment is in the church, is a fraction of what that child is going to get from a discipling standpoint. The vast mm-hmm. majority of the discipling is going to have to happen in the home by the parents or the parent, depending on what the household looks like. And so I think it's really, really critical that churches and church leaders see their role as not being to be the ones that are being the primary deliverers of content, but to be partnering with parents and families and equipping them and walking alongside them. And what we do in that hour on Sunday morning should be a supplement to what's happening in the home and what's happening in the family life. Now, not every family is going to be able to disciple their kids as efficiently and as effectively. So some parents are new in their faith, growing in their faith. They don't even know where to start, which is another reason why I think churches should look at how do we disciple parents to be better disciplers of their own children and think about our children's ministry as a supplement to that. And so I like what you said there. Let me ask you another question, kind of on the flip side. Are there trends or things that you're seeing in the local church today when it comes to children's ministry or curriculum or anything in general that gives you some red flags? Any things that you're concerned about that you see in churches?
Well, I think so much, there's like the churches and the family. So as much as we have families eager to want to know more and churches, we're more aware that we need to partner. Like you said, we just did not think that way. You know, everybody kind of came to church. And I think even now there's more discipleship opportunities for adults, for kids, for families, you know. But the biggest challenge, I think, too, for parents, I'll kind of answer that twofold, is the busyness right now. So things were way protected earlier. Back when we were younger, you know, you didn't have Wednesday night activities. You know, some people went to church Sunday night. There were different things. So, you know, they're trying to figure out, how do I do this? Like, I've got to get them to be sports and stuff, or they won't be on this team. And we tell them, well, you got to choose God over that, you know, or this or that. But they really, it's a challenge for them. So we need to give them simple things that they can do deeply. Sometimes that's text reminders, you know, like little things. Hey, right now, just stop and pray for this. Or here's at dinner time, you know, being strategic when you send like a mealtime question to ask, you know, maybe they're not all sitting together. Maybe they've found a Chick-fil-A bag there, but they're like, you know, here comes a little text from Miss Lisa saying, hey, tonight, why not ask this question to help reinforce what was taught on Sunday? So we have to get creative in how we get with them. Now, on the church side, I think definitely understanding the value of your children's ministry. And I feel bad when I say that, because you're like, well, she's a children's minister. Of course she's going to say that. But the children's ministry really connects to every ministry. And I don't think for many, many years that we realized just how crucial it is, how it can, if we want people to come to our church, then we have to let them know that the children are important to us. And we have to let them know how we can partner with them, how we can disciple them, their kids, and their family as a whole. And then, you know, we have to make sure that they realize we have a plan and that safety, security is important to us and things like that. We're probably get a little bit more into that a little bit later, but just so that they can understand that we realize how important it is. And I think if you're choosing a curriculum as a church, then you have to be mindful that, you know, honestly, we talked about when you have a Bible in your hand, I have sometimes had the best lessons. I've had curriculum that cost me $1,000 a year. And then God had a bigger plan one day, and I'm sitting there, I'm reading straight out of the Bible, that can still be so powerful because God's word is so powerful. So, you know, don't to feel like, well, we can't afford the curriculum, we can't afford this. Like I talked about the many free resources we have, but also the Bible is enough and like the creativity gives us. And you do need to be careful about the curriculum you choose. There's, you know, there's so many options out there. And so you've got some that can be a little bit more character-driven, which is actually good because the schools talk a lot about character. But you want to have someone in place or who can then say, well, let's go a little deeper here. Our kids can handle this. But in some cases, you've got a new person coming in. They've never been to church before. You know, you've got to understand and meet them where they are, you know, type of thing. And then take your kids deeper. So you have to look at each curriculum as a guide. Like, they cannot write a curriculum for every single church individually. So we as shield professionals have to look at it and think, how can I make this work for my church? And do I feel like it is going deep enough? Are my kids ready for something deeper? Or do I want to first, let's just start with the basic stuff?
Yeah, the curriculum is a really tricky thing. There are some really popular curriculi. Is that the plural for curriculum? Curricula. really popular curricula out there. And part of the reason I think some of the more popular curriculum are as popular as they are is that they are super plug and play. So they provide so much content and so much material that makes it really easy for somebody to basically show up without a whole lot of prep work, follow a script, follow the lesson plan, and deliver what ultimately really can be a great experience for the kids in the classroom or in the small group environment or even the large group environment. I'm not going to name names here, but my personal challenge with some of those goes pretty much to what you kind of hit on there, which is some of them can be a little more focused on character development and not so much Christ-centeredness. And yet my favorite curriculum that's out there, which I won't name, that is totally Christ-centered, is one of the least plug-and-play curriculum out there. And it requires those that are volunteering in children's ministry to really do a lot of prep work to prepare for Sunday mornings, which in a lot of churches, let's just face it, we're scrambling to find the right people to be able to make the time, have the right heart, the right posture, the availability. And the more we ask of them, the higher that bar gets. And so it does become more and more complicated. If we have time before the end of this recording today, I'm going to share with you a way that I've actually been using AI to create some Sunday morning curriculum using sermon-based content. I'll share that with you if we have time when we get to the end. And now I've whet everybody's appetite for that. So, but I want to pivot to another question. I have the opportunity to love on and walk alongside a lot of churches that have really aged out over the course of the last decade or two. They don't have many, if any, children in their children's ministry. They're all desperate to connect with and reach families in their community. That's part of the reason that they're partnered with our ministry, with our organization, is like they recognize that we're not reaching our full impact for God's kingdom. We know we need to grow younger, yet we can't seem to figure out how to get new families to come to our church. Well, there's two or three different things that I could point to in that. But one of the things that I always say is, number one, pray for new families to come. Pray that God will bring the families. But number two, you better have a really good game plan for when those families show up. Because I've seen it too often where a family walks in and the church is completely caught off guard with the fact that they now have a third grader, first grader and a third grader just walked in the room, or a preschooler and a second grader. And they're like, oh, what do we do? What's our plan? Let's talk for a few minutes, Lisa. I'm going to let you talk to some of these churches. Answer some of these questions. What are some of the basic things that a church needs to do and need to have prepared for a ministry plan for when new families do start coming to their church and bringing kids? What are some of the, like, just some of the nuts and bolts things that you would say if I sent you to work with one of my church partners and said, Lisa, you got one half day on Saturday to get this church ready for new families that are showing up on Sunday. What are some of the things that you would prioritize?
Exactly. So, and we do that like a lot with Life Catalyst too. You know, we might have big and small churches, but one of the first things I want to see is kind of, you do have a space, like you have a space where the kids can be. And so sometimes you have to have many ages together. It depends. You definitely want to have a space where you can have younger children. Like if you can have nursery and preschool, and nursery separated and then preschool and elementary, that's ideal. Some of you may not have that. You want to have at least a space where you can have the young kids in one space for safety and the older kids together. And you want to make sure that you have some kind of check-in type system. And it doesn't have to be fancy. I know a lot of people, there's different, things that you can use where print the name tag, but you can even order tags. You can make tags. There's many ways to do that. Like, and I would say, I've helped people make them, at Avery, all sorts of things that look very, very professional and nice. But that just, those little things, we're like, oh, let me take you over to the room where we have our children. Your greeters need to be aware that you have a children's program. Because like you said, when you haven't had children and suddenly they walk in, like, well, wait a minute, let me see. Do we have a place where your greeters are even confused? So make sure you're communicating well. Hey, guys, we have a plan for this. you know, this is where the kids are going to be. This is where the younger kids are. So if you have an info desk or anybody greeting, there is information there for them. And then, of course, you do have to have people who are willing to say, look, I'll be ready. Like I'll have, you know, I'll have a bin ready. I've got things that I need. If you're Parkery, if I was a children's minister coming into that setting, I would want to ask my senior pastor, like, what are you preaching on? To try to see if I could connect it somehow, because if I need a really quick option, then I've on his sermon series and I probably have some crafts already ready for that, like some for preschool and some for elementary. And then that way, if you don't have somebody on staff to do that, at least someone who has a heart for that and they are willing to take that lead. If you have a child that's coming, you don't want there to not be anywhere for them to go. So find space, make sure safety and security is a priority, because they want to feel like I'm dropping my child off. You want to be doing background checks. So you also wanted to, you identified some people. So you've got to identify who's willing to take this on, even if it's just a couple of couples that you have or something. And maybe nobody shows up that day. Maybe a few show up that day. And then you have to decide for schedules. So for some of you, you might be small enough where you're thinking, we're going to have the kids in at the beginning. And this is actually something that could be helpful to you, because it can be hard for a church to plan from the moment they walk into the door till the very end. But if you have an intentional plan to where you want the focus on families, you can say you love for you all to come in together. And then when we get ready to start the sermon, we're going to dismiss the kids and have a plan for how you do that. And that helps with your program a little bit at the beginning, because you have a little less time. So you're dealing with a little bit of less time to do something really good with them. And then just remember, there's lots of free resources to, if you can partner with your preacher, that's the best, but there's lots of free resources to have buckets and bins available, or even have handouts for the kids in worship. Even that shows, like if you don't even have anybody that's willing to step up, but you have a children's bulletin and you have a little church bag or something that they can pull and have, that right there even says children are important. So you just have to start with those tiny things, but space is one of your first things, is space and safety and security. People are looking for that. And then anytime you can reference them, you know, in your sermons, if you're a preacher listening to this, make sure that you are talking about the families and the discipleship factor and how important that is and their impact. And I think that's crucial as well.
I'm going to just bounce the ball back to you. I've got some very practical examples of churches that I've worked with that I've seen kind of apply some of the things that you're sharing with. Now, number one, when you talk about space, this is one thing that I will emphasize. If you haven't had children in a while, you may need to get outside eyes to do this. You need not only to have the space designated, but it needs to be cleaned and updated. Taking old toys, old furniture, anything that could be considered a safety issue. It's better to have less in the room than it is to have more. And it's really important that it's clean, that it's tidy, that it's updated. I've got one church that I'm working with that, you know, got a little bit of money a few years ago to do some improvements on their building. They invested it all in one restroom and their children's ministry space. They didn't buy new sound equipment. They didn't do some of the other things that they could have done, which would have been good bells and whistles. But they're like, we know we need to update this one restroom and we need to update this children's ministry space, because the cleanliness and the updatedness of those two things meant a ton to newcomers coming in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You talked about safety and security protocols. Number one, I think, you know, let's not blow past this too quickly. This is really hard in smaller churches sometimes, but yes, you do absolutely 100% need to have background checks on anybody who's going to be left alone with children. It's just, it's a non-negotiable. If you don't know how to do that, you can reach out to me and I'll walk you through some of the easiest ways to do that. If you're listening to this podcast or watching on our YouTube channel and you don't know what to do or where to go, I can walk you through that. It will be the best $35 or $55 or $65 you ever spend if something ever goes wrong, to know that you've done that background check. Signing kids in. Like, okay, so you and I both have a lot of experience in some of the digital systems using Planning Center or CCB or some of the church management softwares. They all have children's ministry check-in. A lot of smaller churches, you know, we don't have all those bells and whistles. How about a clipboard? Mm-hmm. with a sign in and a sign out.
You can do that. Yep.
A clipboard with a sign in and a sign out. And you probably should have some sort of registration form where you're grabbing the parent's information, their cell phone number, and any allergies or issues that the child might have. It's just really good to have that information documented. A lot of churches will say they have a difficult time getting new people to fill out a connection card or a newcomer card. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You got a new family. It's not an option. They have to fill out the parent card to sign their kids in, so you get their information. That's another way of getting that info. I've got one church that I worked with a number of years ago. They're doing great today. They were down to just a handful of people and no kids in the church. And when they launched their children's ministry, they do family integrated worship, which is what you were sort of describing earlier, where the kids are in the worship center during the worship time, and they're excused for kids' church or children's ministry after the worship time. However, they wanted to make sure that kids were signed in. So their process is that families come in, they actually take their children to the children's ministry space, sign them in, and then all the elementary school and middle school age kids are brought into the sanctuary for the worship time by the teachers, and then they're taken back out to their classrooms. So that parents are dropping their kids off at the same place that they're picking them up and dropping them off at the same place. To me, it's always a little weird when I come into church and parents have brought their kids in, and then halfway through they say, okay, kids are dismissed to children's church, and I'm visualizing this mom,
where are they going?
Her 5-year-old walk out the back door and go, like, I don't know where you're taking my kids, right? And I don't know who you are. So I think check in and check out is still important in those scenarios. And one of the things we discovered this, we visited a church, my wife and I, years and years ago, and we've adopted this in our current church environment, which is on Sundays that we're not prepared with children's ministry, we're in a church plant right now, so we're kind of in a weird spot, much like many of our churches that are going through revitalization. We actually bought these pizza boxes, empty pizza boxes on Amazon, and we have coloring sheets and craft pages and crayons in those pizza boxes. And so if a family comes and it happens to be a Sunday that we weren't prepared for a children's ministry program, we have a pizza box to give them so the kid can sit in a seat with the pizza box and draw on the box or draw on the coloring sheets and do all the little crafts that are in there. Gives them something to do during the long, boring sermon. Like, because, well, that's all it is to an 8-year-old, right? It's a long, boring sermon. So those are the few things that we've done. Any other thoughts come to your mind as I share those things?
Right. No, I think that's wonderful. You just have to get creative. But those things show that your church does, they're thinking about the children. You're not just thinking about the adults, because that can happen. And I would say, if you have the ability, just as Bart was saying too, I would say, Bart, exactly right. Like, you have a classroom. I mean, you also want to add some color to it. So when we talk about revitalizing it, some people think, well, we'll put a new coat of paint on it. But you want it to look friendly and exciting. And as you're approaching, if there's any way to have signage, even if you just make signage, you laminate it, you can have it coming out of your door. It's colorful. It's like, you know, it sort of draws you to it. And we want to make sure that, like, that room looks inviting for the child as well. Because you feel, if you get a parent, you don't have that many kids, and it doesn't look inviting, and they don't really want to go in, I mean, that already is putting a little bit of another barrier to that family of thinking, oh, you know, maybe this is the right place for us. So it's just important to have things that invite that child in. If you can in your lobby, even if you just have a small little table where it looks like that, you can see, oh, that's where I go to check in my kids. Like, anything you can do. So, you know, we can make things pretty quickly on Canva and all sorts of different things now. So it's just wonderful to be able to, as a parent, to come in and be like, they thought about the kids. That's where I go check in my kids. Or this is what I do. And or that's the classroom I go to, or that's the area I go to. But definitely you want to make sure your team is prepared for those kids coming in. But remember, just like you said, Bart, earlier, some of that curriculum that you dive into, I wanted to kind of touch on that just a little bit too, that you might have a volunteer. Maybe they don't want to be in a classroom, but two of my greatest volunteers right now, they come in every week. They're in their 80s and they love this though. And they prep these bins for our classrooms. And that is like their ministry. So that's what they want to do. They don't want to be a classroom, but they want to do that. And it is so powerful and helpful. So don't forget that it's like that, you know, whoever's teaching doesn't necessarily have to do all that. You can split up the work to be sure that you have what you need.
Let's talk, Lisa, for just a minute or two about volunteers. I'm a pastor. I've got a smaller church. I want to find some people who can serve in children's ministry. How do I go about inviting people to serve in this really important ministry? What are some things that I can do that might cast a vision and help people say yes to this awesome opportunity?
Well, you saying that you're a pastor is great. I mean, I think it really starts from up there, like when you're talking about how important the children are. You know, there's announcements that you can make. That's one thing. But it really comes down to the personal invite. I have put things in a bulletin. If you had a bulletin, the pastor has said something, which is helpful. But you don't want to sound like people should be afraid to take their kids, right? See, there's this little bit of a fine line there when you're getting up and you're talking about we need people in children's ministry. If you sound desperate, like we are dying back there and we need people, you start to think, should I be worried about a kid being back there? No, you want there to be excitement about it. So if you're growing, you want to be talking about that, about, hey, we're growing and, you know, guess what? We'd love for more of you to step up and help. But at the end of the day, that's great. But I have never found that anything works better than the personal invite. So it's literally the personal connection. I will see people and I'm thinking they'd be great. Like, and it could be that I think they're going to be great with older kids, like two teens. You have to have a little cool factor with them, or I could think they're going to be great with nursery, or it doesn't matter. But regardless, me just having a conversation with them. So I would say you have to have a goal. Like for me, honestly, recruiting is not easy. It's what usually drives most of our children's ministry away. That's the part they do not like and they get burnt out from. But if you take it in snippets, I make 5 calls a day. So I might make 3 calls that are recruiting, 2 for encouragement, or it could be vice versa. But I'm going to make at least 2 calls a day just to invite somebody else to say, hey, would you be interested in being in children's ministry? I've noticed that I think you'd be great, like with our elementary kids, or would you consider serving once a month in our nursery? So it's that bold ask. I mean, but I would say just really kind of looking at your congregation, and then instead of just saying we need people, like looking at who you think would be good in your ministry and who you would like to have around your kids and invite them to do it.
Yeah, I think sometimes too, if you get really creative, you can think about how different people are good and gifted for different things. So rather than thinking about, I don't think we always think about it this way, but what I want to do is I want to build a children's ministry team. I don't want just volunteers. I want a team,
exactly.
Right? And so in that team, I might have somebody who's really good at leading the kids in songs, or somebody who's really good at helping the kids learn their memory verse. I might have some that are super creative at the arts and crafts things, but don't ask them to sing a song, right? So think about your building your children's ministry team in those regards as well. Not everybody needs to be able to do everything. Now, a lesson that I learned along the way, and I'm sure that you will feel this pain. Early in one of my ministry adventures, our church was growing pretty rapidly. We had a lot of young kids, and I wanted to hire someone part-time to serve as our children's minister. And I went and I found this lady who was super sweet and really, really great with kids, and put her in, and for a season, it worked really, really well. But then all of a sudden, it wasn't working well. And it took me a while to figure out why it wasn't working well. And the reason that it wasn't working well was because while she was super great with kids, she was not amazing with the adults and the parents. And one of her responsibilities, as you just hit on, was I needed her to build a team. The goal wasn't for her to be the solo Sunday school teacher every Sunday, but it was to build a team of people who could be a part of the rotation, be a part of the team, and could contribute as well. And she just was not gifted at that. It was the pain point that ultimately led us to having to move in a different direction, because I needed somebody who would oversee the ministry rather than being on their knees on the carpet with the kids. And she, again, super, super with the kids. The kids loved her and got a ton out of it. But as the ministry was growing, it wasn't scalable. And I needed someone exactly. who had that ability, who maybe wasn't as great with the kids on the knees on the carpet, but who had the ability to work with and invite other parents and other families and coordinate and organize. Can you talk a little bit more about more the skill set of the person who would maybe oversee a children's ministry rather than the person who's in the classroom delivering all the content?
Exactly. And you really do need a strong leader who definitely can work with adults just as well as they can work with children. So I will talk to children and I love teaching, but I'll be honest, probably my skills are more in organizational and leading a team. But then I try to find people who are excellent speakers. So we have a little bit bigger congregation. And there are better storytellers than me who can get up on that stage and say, we want to be able to engage those folks who have that giftedness. And like Mark was saying, you want to get them where they're going to, you know, flourish, right? And so I would say that you really need someone who's organized, who is, you know, basically is going to be able to have those skills to teach and train adults just as well as like they could handle a roommate kid. You want them to be able to do that. But their organizational skills, their leadership skills are, I would say, extremely important to making sure that that you have a strong leader in that case too. And they do have to deal with different issues. So you also have to be able to have the conflict. So you're going to have a conflict in churches a little different than your conflict in a corporate type thing. And so you have to know how to handle that delicately, but at the same token with love. But I would say that organization factor, that training and, you know, motivating, those skills are so important to your children's ministry team. And make sure you're not just looking for someone who could fill the job. So you kind of look at your current children's person that you have. And if you notice they're having to do all that work, you know, that's what you don't want. Like, I mean, it's great that they are, but you want to be able to coach them up and out of that. And that's what I try to help them. It's real easy to kind of stay in those weeds because, you know, that's what you're doing. But if we're not all developing someone else, we need to be looking for a replacement all the time. I think who could, like, if I wasn't here, this ministry still has to be able to go on. If something happens to me today, I used to joke, like, if I get hit by a truck. I mean, but in reality, we need to be thinking that way. Would this ministry still go on? You know, and hopefully on a Sunday morning, your children's minister is walking around, she's meeting people. That's how he or she really, because that's how you recruit a lot of people. They need to have time to be able to do that. Checking in on their teachers. How are you doing? Do you have everything you need? So my job on a Sunday, honestly, is to serve my volunteers. So as much as people be like, you're the children's minister, you're in charge. No, I'm a servant. Like literally, I'm trying to be like Jesus in that moment. So I just want to make sure they have everything they need to be able to let the Holy Spirit work through them and to be able to teach efficiently. So if they ask me for a Diet Coke to be in their room, well, by goodness, we'll have a Diet Coke sitting there for them, you know, whatever they need. So I try to make it really easy for them, but I also want them to understand I want you to have time. We're going to have all your supplies here, but I want you to have time to get into the work, to prepare your heart and mind and soul, and to pray for your students. And that way you come here. And then my goal is just to serve them at that time and be free to talk to the people, meet people, figure out who might be interested next in children's ministry.
Yeah, that's super. Lisa, man, we're pretty much out of time. So I'm not gonna be able to teach my AI children's ministry curriculum lesson today. I have to save that for another day, another time. If any of our listeners have any questions for you, they wanted to reach out to you, learn more about you and what kind of services you offer, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yes, that's great. I would say go ahead and go to lifecatalyst.com. And my name's on there, my email, everything. I would love to chat with you. Honestly, my passion is not just for where I'm serving now, but really helping equip children's ministers everywhere because I just want to help them. We can spread the news more, you know, and it doesn't matter what their scenario is, big, small. When I was in a plant church, we literally rented out of a trunk. So any size, you know, we want to help you succeed. So you just let us know.
That's lifecatalyst.com, and we'll link to that in the show notes. Lisa, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you so much.
For those of you who have actually made it all the way to the end of this podcast, congratulations. It was about 40 minutes worth of fire hose feeding on children's ministry, and I hope it's been helpful for you. If it has been, please make sure that you leave a rating and review wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, or share with a friend. Maybe there's somebody else in ministry that you know that could benefit from this conversation or any of the other content that we create on this podcast. And again, if you haven't yet subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, make sure that you do that. We release an episode on the 1st and the 15th of every month. And the easiest way to remember that is to not ever have to remember it because you're subscribed and it just gets delivered to your mobile device. So again, thanks so much, Lisa. On behalf of Thank Lisa you. Roland, I'm Bart Blair, and this has been the Revitalize My Church podcast.